Don't worry. 74 people were picked before me in the NFL draft.
To fight childhood obesity, United Way and the NFL are helping kids play at least 60 minutes a day.
Okay, time for the team obstacle course. Yay!
What this place needs is more healthy kids. To get involved or donate, go to unitedway.org/play60.
Now I get it.
Welcome back to Mass Radio Sports Talk, presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. It's time to move into our Tough Deal of the Week. If you want to call into the show and talk about what we're going to talk about with us, we want you to do it. The number to do so is 253-535-7332. Again, 253-535-7332.
Christian?
Yes.
You know, we came in with a tough deal, scheduled. We were ready to go and prepared. Now we're sitting here, 10 minutes before the show starts, and Lacey goes on one of those rants. On one of those rants, just like, lets all the frustrations out.
It was very good.
It was very good. And we completely took our script for this segment, crumpled it up, and threw it in the trash.
Yep.
To let Lacey talk about another tough deal. Has this three in a row for you, by the way?
She likes this segment.
I like this segment.
So
I'm pretty opinionated. To
say that. So Lacey, talk to us. What's bothering you? What's your tough deal this week?
Well,
she put the laptop down. Yeah. You can't see it. She threw the laptop on the table and said, "Let's talk."
Let's talk.
Here's what sparked my frustration. I'm going to call out Kellen because I know he can take it, and he knows I love him. Kellen's not in studio today because he has a doctor's appointment, which is all fine and dandy. But Kellen's doctor's appointment is at 12 o'clock in Bellevue. He could have been here for the first hour of the show. So this kind of, it's not just Kellen. This is built up frustration, and Kellen's just kind of the needle. That breaks the horse's back, or whatever that phrase is. commitment, guys. This is huge in everything that I do. If you are committed to something, then you better show up on time to everything you are committed to. And I'm not going to call out names, but I've seen it in sports, on every sports team I've ever been a part of, on the sports team I am on right now. People do not understand commitment, and it frustrates the heck out of me because people like us who show up to the show at 8:30 every morning, get prepared. We're committed to this. We're here and we're grinding and working hard to get better. Some people don't want to do that. And that is extremely frustrating. Gets under my skin just about every time.
Well, Lacey, I feel you. I understand where you're coming from on this issue. CTC is what we always, it's committed to the cause, committed to the cause. And that's a problem that I've never had to deal with here at the school because I think our men's basketball team is so insanely bought in and we all love the sport so much that although we will stand there all morning and complain about being at morning workouts that early, and boy, do we complain.
You sure do.
And boy, do we complain. We are all there every morning. Mm-hmm. Not one absence every morning.
Have you not had a single absence this entire fall season?
Despite for one illness where are we at a young man severely ill? No, we have not had one absence.
That's impressive.
We have not had one guy miss an open gym, and we've had not one guy miss a study table.
Wow.
Coach Dickerson calls it affectionately, do what we do. Mm-hmm. And we do what we do. And that is how we've operated things. Now, Kellen not being here, does that throw a lot of our prep in the trash? Yeah. Our producer Christian had his 5-minute meltdown where he threw his laptop probably and like, what do you mean you're not going to be here? Lacey walked up to me at morning workouts in the morning and was like, I cannot believe he's not going to be here. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous. Tells us 2 days before the show. But, you know, it's part of those things. We're rolling with the punches. We're here. We're having a great show. This is the first time I've seen Christian laugh in studio since I've been at this school. He's always so serious in here, and it's been a great show so far. We've been having a blast.
It has been fun. This is it's fun for me to see you guys get excited about stuff. I mean, Lacey's been fired up all morning. All morning.
Guys,
this is good.
Okay. So here's my other thing with commitment then.
Okay.
Excuses. What is considered a good excuse?
Surgery.
Surgery. I don't think there's many good excuses.
I'll give you a few. If you're puking over your bedside and can't get up, you don't have to be there.
Fine.
Okay?
I'd still be there.
Lacey, that's because you and I are of the breed where unless there's a bone sticking out of our leg, we're going to go play. Okay?
I'd still be there.
Yeah.
NBD.
If you're sick throwing up over your bed, if you have a legit... No. If you're not hurt, you're injured. That is a legitimate issue, and there is a difference.
There is a huge difference.
There is a difference between a owie and a boo-boo than there is an injury.
Thank you. Preach.
If it requires surgery or rehab, it's an injury. If it's a boo-boo, you're hurt. So to get that out there.
You guys
Thank
have
you for
both
that.
Of you have any more you want to spill on this, or are we good?
Oh, no. Wow. That got cut off real quick. Yeah.
I want to hear about like what do you feel is a better excuse?
Yeah, give us your best excuse.
Give us your best excuse.
If you had to come up with one.
One that I've heard one that I can come up with.
Okay, let's break it in. I want the best excuse you've heard, and I want the absolute worst excuse you've ever heard in your life.
Okay.
Oh, my God. That's really hard because I've heard so many.
I can give you the worst one already. I know the worst one because you've shared it with me.
Okay, what is it?
Personal day.
Taking a personal day is not an excuse for anything. And can someone please define personal day? I would love to know.
What Kellen is doing currently.
I have my
What's up?
Personal day is I don't want to day.
Mm-hmm.
That's all that is. Okay. But yes.
So what's the best excuse you heard?
Like an actual legit good excuse?
Yeah.
I can't think of one. I have not heard one.
She is so like stubborn on this issue. It's
fantastic.
I'm
put on the spot too. I'm sure if I sat down and really thought about it, I could come up with something. But right now I can't think of one.
So that's our tough deal for this week. If you are involved in something, commit to it, be all about it, and that's basically the message from this segment.
Amen.
Let's chill out for a minute. Let's talk. Let's take a break.
You're going to ask her to chill out before we talk about UW football?
Let's chill out for a minute. Let's recompose here. Let's take a couple deep breaths. Let's talk about the University of Washington Huskies football team.
Whoop!
I told you there was no point.
There's no chill
there was
here.
Zero point.
I was shocked when I saw, not that they beat Stanford necessarily, but how bad they beat them. What was everyone else's reaction from that?
You remember when I said last week that the Dogs need to don't tell me but show me? The good old Mike Singletary, I won't win if don't tell me, show me. Well, they showed me. Ladies and gentlemen, UW football is back. They're for real. Are you kidding me? A 30-plus point stomp of Stanford in prime time? Are you kidding me? Now, hey. They've played pretty exclusively West Coast, and I don't know if they'll break number 5 with the heavy SEC bias that we see in the NCAA, but I would love to see the Dogs play a Big Ten or SEC team. I would love to see it. I want to see what happens when flashy West Coast air raid football collides with pro-style ground and pound, Southern, USA, good old boy, we're bigger than you, stronger than you, going to smack you in the face in the trenches football. And I would love to see what would happen.
Lacey, you were there. What were you expecting? What'd you see? How was it?
Well, I was fully expecting the Dogs to get a win out of the night, but I was not expecting it to happen the way it did. I thought it would be a little bit more of a battle between the two. When the Dogs came out early and scored their first touchdown, I was a little shocked. I was like, wow, we're getting off to a great start. Then they come out, get another touchdown right away. And I'm like, this is incredible. I'm like, where is the Stanford offense? And that's the thing, guys. I hit on it last week how UW's defense is seasoned. They have a lot of returners, and I think they took it to Christian McCaffrey. If you look at his numbers, Christian had 12 attempts, which was a season low. He only rushed for 49 yards. His second lowest rushing yards in the season is 126. That is ridiculous. We, the dogs, not we, stopped him incredibly. And that, it's all in the numbers, guys. It was an incredible game to watch. It was great to be there in the atmosphere. I think the stadium was sold out for the first time, and people were pumped.
In closing, before we, I know we need to talk about Oregon. In closing, UW cost Christian McCaffrey the Heisman in one game.
They very well could have.
No, they cost him the Heisman. It's over now. Lamar Jackson will now win the Heisman. It is not even a competition anymore. It used to be. It used to be. With the East Coast bias already, Christian McCaffrey would have had to put up 100-plus yards every game. Mm-hmm. He's done. He's done.
Yeah, you, I mean, you talked about the air raid offense, but what is more impressive than shutting down Christian McCaffrey the way that UW did? No one else has done it. Lacey mentioned it.
I want to see him play an SEC team. I want to see him play a Big Ten team.
They are currently they're the fifth-ranked team in the AP poll.
They want to get above five. They're going to have to go to the East Coast. They're going to have to go south.
I don't think that's on the schedule. Speaking of the schedule, they take on Oregon this weekend down in Eugene. University of Washington football has not beat Oregon in 12 years.
Well, this is the year. I'll tell you that.
Go for it, Lacey. Tell me about it.
You want to go ahead, Lacey?
Sure. Just coming off an incredible win against Stanford. They have momentum, but it's important that the Dogs do not get comfortable where they're at. They have to take every opponent on like they would as if it were Stanford. And they're ranked, fifth now in the nation,
mm-hmm.
and everyone wants to beat them. They are that team that everyone's going to go after and prepare a little extra for, and they cannot get comfortable. But I think the Ducks have some good players. We'll talk a little bit about Royce Freeman. He has 56 rushing attempts on the season, averaging an impressive 8.3 yards per rush. But can I just say, he's nothing compared to Christian McCaffrey, and we were able to stop him. So shouldn't be a problem for the Dogs. Next, we got to look out for junior wide receiver Darren Carrington,
mm-hmm.
who has 21 receptions on the season for 304 yards. On the defensive end, the Dogs need to be aware of freshman linebacker Troy Dye. He has 18 solo tackles, 27 total. He's only played in 3 games for the Ducks. I'm not entirely sure why. Does anyone know why?
I'm not aware.
I'm not quite sure.
Yeah, so they've played 5 games total. He's only appeared in 3. But still, incredible numbers for just 3 games. That's someone they need to be aware of. I think if the Dogs' offense, if Jake Browning can take control of the offense like he did last week, composed, confident, they're not going to have a problem scoring against the Ducks.
Drew, what do you think real quick?
The Dogs are going to absolutely thrash the Ducks and their less than subpar defense. They're just going to have to be careful of the dreaded big win hangover. The Ducks are going to do what the Ducks do. Hurry up, spread no huddle, air the ball out to Carrington, run off tackle with Freeman. However, Gaskin and Coleman continue to pound the ball like they are, and the Dogs can continue to move the ball so methodically with purpose and keep their defense off the field, they're going to kill the Ducks. If their D can keep Oregon's athletes in front, not let the game turn into track meet, Dogs 24, Oregon 6, be my prediction.
That's fair. That's fair.
What do you guys think of the uniforms the Ducks are going to be repping this weekend? Have you guys seen them?
I have not seen them yet. That
ugly blue.
It's a little throwback.
Can you describe it?
They call the web foot.
I believe
it's what it's called.
That's what the Ducks were called 100-plus years ago. And they're playing in the uniforms that they played in 100-plus years ago.
Okay, so describe them to me. What color is the helmet?
They are navy blue and yellow, the uniforms.
Like a duck.
Kind of.
But you'll have to pull up a picture, Christian, and those of you those of you who are listening, pull up a picture right now too. But yeah, I don't know how I feel about it. It's kind of weird. It's kind of cool, the throwback. I like that. But you're not even wearing your school colors.
You just have to remember that Oregon has 55 times the jersey combinations of any other team in the United States, pro, college, football club, you name it.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous.
All right.
They're Nike University. Forget Oregon University.
Well, doesn't matter what they're wearing. The dogs are going to go out and take care of business this weekend.
There it is. All right. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little Seahawks. They're on a bye week this week, but that means we can just sit back and look at this last month for the Seahawks and talk about it a little bit. This is Mass Radio Sports Talk, presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio.
No more boys will be boys.
No more what's the big deal?
No more
it's just the way he is.
No more he just has a temper.
No more but he's such a nice guy.
No more but he has such a bright future.
No more not my problem.
No more I'll say something next time.
No more why didn't she tell anyone?
No more why doesn't she just leave?
No more I'm sure they'll work it out.
No more she seems fine to me.
No more. What was she wearing?
No more. She was drunk.
No more. He was drunk.
No more. She was asking for it.
No more. She never said no.
No more. Not in this family.
No more. Not on this team.
No more. We don't talk about that.
No more bystanding.
No more ignorance.
No more excuses.
No more.
Welcome back to Mast Radio Sports Talk, presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. We're going to talk a little Seahawks right now. If you want to call in and join us, the number to do it is 253-535-7332. Once again, 253-535-7332. So the Seahawks are on a bye this week, and that means that I don't have to make a fool of myself in trying to predict what they will do, which is good. But we can talk about the season and how it's been so far.
Are you still Ofer?
I am definitely Ofer. Someone's got to be different on this show.
I've won one.
I honestly don't know how many I've won.
I think Lacey and Kellen have two.
Got to have two by now. Anyway, it's not important. Let's talk. Let's evaluate the team so far. You know, what are everyone's thoughts on the Seahawks thus far?
Wait, real quick. I think I have three because I say the Seahawks are going to win every week, and they have three wins. So
then you have three.
Then you
that.
Have three. So three,
Lacey,
three.
Leader in the clubhouse.
Kellen's got two. I have one.
Kellen will lose one this week for not being here. Anyway, Lacey, go.
Wow. What are we talking? Thoughts on Seahawks? Okay. Well, they've obviously been looking great on both sides of the ball. Had a little rough start of the season, but they are definitely looking good now. This last weekend, I was extremely impressed with the Wilson to Graham combination. With Graham being the athlete that he is, Wilson is able to trust throwing some pretty risky passes, kind of threading the needle there, but Graham is able to just come down and secure the football, and it's incredible to watch. The game against the Jets this last weekend, Graham had 113 yards on 6 catches. He's an incredible weapon on this offense to add to an offense that is already incredible. So on the defensive side of things, it's equally as impressive to go back just to this trust. I talk about how Wilson can trust the fact that Graham's going to bring the ball down, but the defense has that same trust. They have been together for years now, some key players on defense. Earl Thomas has been a Hawk since 2010, Richard Sherman since 2011, Cam Chancellor since 2010, and Cliff Averill since 2013. And I think, Drew, being the athlete, the other athlete in the room, I think you can kind of attest to this, that when you play with someone for a good amount of time, a couple years, you're a senior now, you've been playing with those other seniors for 3 years now, you build trust on the court, and you kind of learn their tendencies, and things just flow better. And I think that is something that we see in the Hawks defense.
Yeah, you spend time with guys, or women in your case, for a long span of time. You just kind of like know where they're going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And you know where you have to be because where they are. The one thing I think the Hawks need to worry about, though, is Hawks need to get healthy in the bye week. A lot of banged up. Even though a hobbled Russell Wilson is better than 55% of the quarterbacks in this league, a healthy Russell Wilson is the top 5 quarterbacks in this league. They're doing the same thing they did last year and the year before. They play with everyone's hearts at the beginning of the year, and you think they're going to be atrocious. And then they did give you the Aaron Rodgers relax and run off a bunch of games in a row once they start to figure things out. Pete Carroll's a great coach. Even though he messed over USC, he's still a great coach, and he's going to continue to have success at this level. I'm hesitant on the Hawks run game because it's kind of hit and miss with the injuries, but Russell Wilson's the man. It's a quarterback's league.
So I'm going to agree with Lacey. The Russell Wilson proved to be a much more accurate passer than I thought he was, because we knew he would be limited in his mobility against the Jets, and he was dropping dimes to Jimmy Graham. Like,
it's
ridiculous.
Also the Jets. Let's not get excited here.
Regardless,
it's the Jets.
The throws. If the route is covered well and the throw lands where it has to land, that's Russell Wilson's pass more so than the Jets. Okay. So let's talk about what is kind of obviously their biggest deficiency, and that is the offensive line. Should people still be worried about the offensive line, or are the skill position players making up for, you know, their lack of skill, how good they are? Is that, you know,
okay?
Are they making up for it?
Well, I think we kind of already hit on it. I mean, against the Jets, you see Russell Wilson having to scramble a few times, which is what he's good at. But it does put a little more pressure on him finding his receivers and finding that perfect pass. But he was able, like we already hit on, he was able to find it. Although some of the passes were up in the air, he can trust that his receivers are good enough to come down with the ball. So, yeah, I think we can. I think the skill position players do make up for the offensive line.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Drew, what do you think?
I think that the front office and Pete Carroll made one fatal flaw when constructing this team. And that is, they did it the right way at the beginning. They built inside out, okay? But the problem was when they built inside out and their out got really, really, really good, they had to pay the out. So guess what happened? They had no money to pay the in.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've lost key guys on both sides of the ball who fight in the trenches. That's the problem. The problem, and also, this is a bigger systemic issue of what's going on in the NFL. If you can't hit in practice, you can't train linemen to block. Yeah. I am sorry. Technique and film only get you so far. But until you hit somebody, you have no idea how to block them. And since you can't do that in practice, this is an NFL issue. I am sorry, Mr. Goodell. Football is a violent game.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's a conscious decision made by the front office that, you know, I think they're putting all of their faith in the skill positions. And so far...
And that's a problem.
Well, so far it's worked. Can they get away with it?
For how long?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think they're going to... But you can't win the playoffs without a good line.
Maybe. I don't know. They've looked decent. We've only seen them struggle with teams with exceptional defensive lines.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So
if they don't have that, if a team doesn't have an exceptional defensive line, the Seahawks torched the 49ers and they torched the Jets. I think they're getting away with it.
So can I ask you a question?
Yes.
What about the Panthers? Or the Rams? Or the Cardinals? Oh, yeah, they're all in that division. That's a problem. The three best defenses in the 49ers at home is four. The 49ers are number four in the league right now in terms of points given up, and number one with points given up at home. So you have four of the, and you have to go to Levi's after this. So you have the four best defenses in the league are in your division.
Yeah, but you gotta focus on the matchup. Are they the four best defensive as a whole? It does matter. We saw them barely beat. They
are
beat
the Rams in first place.
They are. Yeah. They are tied with the Seahawks at 3-1.
And they own the tiebreaker.
Yes. So far.
Why?
Defensive line.
Thank you. My point has now been made.
I think we're trying to make the same point there. All right, let's talk about the rest of the season for the Seahawks. What does everybody think will be the toughest stretch of games the Seahawks will play before the postseason if they make it?
Well, coming off the bye, I think the next three games are going to be big for the Hawks. They have to face the 3-1 Falcons, who are leading the NFC South Division, and that game is at home, so they have an advantage there. But shouldn't be taken lightly on that game. Then the next two games for the Hawks, they hit the road against the Arizona Cardinals and the New Orleans Saints, both of which these teams are not the most standout teams in the league, I would say, but having to travel two weekends in a row can be extremely exhausting. Coming from a Division III athlete who the farthest I travel in conference is to Eastern Washington, and I can say that that's exhausting in itself. So I don't think travel is going to be too much of a factor, but it is something that can maybe get in the heads of the Hawks, but they need to be able to push through that and get some wins there.
Yep. Drew, go ahead, Drew.
Let me read to you. Well, the toughest stretch of games is going to be at Patriots versus Eagles, at Bucks, the Panthers come here. You have to face Brady, Wentz,
Jameis Winston.
Jameis Winston, thank you. I was blanking on his name. And Cam Newton the last 4 weeks of the season.
Oh, the end of the season,
the
too.
The last four games in a row, you have to face four of the top 10 quarterbacks in the league. Let me tell you the quarterbacks who are still left on your roster. Matt Ryan, who just got his stuff together this last week. Carson Palmer, Drew Brees, Tyrod Taylor, who just got his big contract extension. Finally beat Bill Belichick. Then you have Tom Brady, mad at the NFL, which is all sorts of wrong for you. Carson Wentz, who's going to be the rookie of the year. Jameis Winston, probably having a great sophomore season off a great freshman campaign. And then Cam Newton's coming to your front doorstep to end the year.
Yeah.
They're not an easy game in this schedule. I mean, you could possibly thrash the Bills, but fantastic. Who doesn't?
Right. All right. Let's go through the division real quick. Who's going to be the toughest opponent for the Seahawks? We've already seen the Rams beat them 9-3, which was ugly to watch. But who's going to be the toughest opponent in division for the Seahawks to get past?
I think it's the Rams. They're the toughest one so far. The Hawks have lost to them so far. But I will say I think that was kind of a fluke. I think if we get the Rams again, if the Hawks are able to get the Rams again, that's not going to happen. They're going to be able to pull out a win.
My thing is this. I feel like everyone overreacted the Rams with how bad we thought they were with Jared Goff not getting a start and him not even being put on the active roster. I think Hard Knocks was the worst possible thing for that franchise. I think it showed how bad that franchise, it just highlighted all the bad of the franchise. We didn't see a lot of good out of Hard Knocks. We saw a lot of problems. And I think that was bad for him. And then Case Keenum looks to be good, serviceable, can win games. Rams aren't bad. You guys up here in Seattle have consistent troubles with the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
And they're the Rams. You still have to play the Niners at home, the Rams, the Panthers at the end of the year, and you got to see Tom Brady. You guys have a rough time. I'm sorry. You guys have a rough schedule. Rough schedule. Well,
ladies and gentlemen,
we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we will go over some Mariners baseball. This is Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 2.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio.
My hair is kind of different.
Not everyone likes the way I dress. And I don't look like other people.
Me neither. Everyone is different. But no one deserves to be bullied. So be kind, stay positive, and support each other.
Every single day.
Together we can change the game!
Welcome back to Master Radio Sports Talk, presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. We're going to put a close to the Mariners season right now. If you want to call in and join us in the conversation, the number to do it is 253-535-7332. Once again, the number is 253-535-7332. So, Mariners took it all the way to game 161 before being totally eliminated from postseason play. Keep this as broad as possible. Was the 2016 Seattle Mariners season a disappointment?
I'm going to say not at all. The Mariners went over 500 on the season. Not something to hang your head on, but definitely room for improvement there. A handful of guys had career years. Robinson Cano had 195 hits on the season, including 107 runs and a career high of 39 home runs. On defense, Cano committed only 3 errors all season, for a close-to-perfect fielding percentage of .996. And Kyle Seager, to carry over to him, had 166 hits on the season, a career high of 89 runs, and another career high of 30 home runs. On the defensive end, Seager added to his list of career highs with 110 putouts and 373 assists. So I would say definitely not a disappointment for the Mariners there. There's plenty of things that they can walk away feeling good about.
That's absolutely right. Drew, what do you think?
Well, yes. If you expected them to do anything more than what they have done since guys like Junior, Huff, and the big unit departed town, then yeah, it was a disappointment. But as the one out-of-towner and dispassionate observer in the room of Mariners baseball, because y'all love your Seattle sports and Christian bleeds Mariners baseball, just bleeds Mariners baseball, they had a great year. They did what everyone expected them to do, so how could it be a disappointment? They played with your heartstrings, messed with you a little bit, won a bunch of games, had a good run at the end, almost did it, and was the same ex-girlfriend that we've talked about all year and broke your heart in the end, just like we knew she always would.
Yeah, I mean, a little bit of heartbreak, but with so many unanswered questions entering spring training, it was tough to sit down and go, okay, they're going to go 85 and 70, whatever, because Jerry Dipoto had brought in so many new players. 60 guys enter spring training camp. 60. 31 of those guys were new to the organization. More than half. So it was tough. They got off to such a hot start. At the end of May, the M's were 30-22. They were leading the AL West, and it was at that time you start to look around and you go, oh, they got a chance. This could be fun. And it was fun. But then June happened. By the end of June, the team was 40-39. Just one game over 500. That's 10-17 in the month of June. Not good. July, the team was 12-12, so they didn't really get back on track during July. All those injuries. Felix Hernandez was hurt. He was out with a calf injury. It was tough. And then towards the end of the year, like you said, they didn't do much at the trade deadline, and then all of a sudden they were back in it, and it was fun to watch. In that sense, it's a disappointing year, but the whole Mariners roster wasn't one that you were necessarily afraid of. You look at other rosters around the league, rosters that are in the playoffs right now, there's five or six guys where you're like, oh, I really don't want to pitch to him, right? The Mariners, there's three. Everyone else you can live with. Leonis Martin batted around 240 all year long. It's not a guy you're afraid to pitch the ball to. Adam Lind, he had 20 home runs, but he was batting in the 230s. That's not a guy that you're like, oh.
Pedro Serrano-esque, Christian.
It's not good. Mike Zunino was exciting when he came back from AAA. Everyone was so excited to see him back, but for the rest of the year, he wasn't great. Mike Z batted 207 with 12 homers. So, you know, you have to have the guys help out the middle of the order that was so good, and that didn't happen, and that's where the team fell short, in my opinion.
I mean, like Christian, I mean, you pay more attention to this than any of us. I mean, yeah, I'm a big baseball fan, but my loyalties lie in a completely different state.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Lacey likes her M's baseball, and she wants the M's to win, but you bleed this stuff, like I said. So I kind of want to direct the question your way. Like, so what do you think about the front office? Are we, we talk about women's basketball since you've been here is trending up, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're the observer. You write all this stuff. You watch every game. You know that men's basketball is trending up. Football is trending up. Everything's going up. What about the Mems? Where are they trending? Talk to us here.
Guys who are going to come out of the season looking best,
yeah,
are Scott Servais and Jerry Dipoto.
Okay.
Jerry Dipoto, new general manager, like I said, he brought in 31 new players to spring training camp. If the team comes out and falls flat on its face in those first 2 months, there is no support for what Jerry Dipoto has in mind. He has a plan, and it's very obvious what he wants to do. He doesn't want home run mashers, which is what the Mariners were. They finished in the top five in home runs this year. He wants the team to be more athletic. He wants the team to be faster, play better defense, which in turn makes your pitching better without getting better pitchers.
Yeah, you can save money in the bullpen.
Exactly. Scott Servais, he didn't do too bad a job really managing the team, and baseball is one of those sports. Half the time I feel like I can go out there and manage a baseball team. I couldn't coach an NFL team. I couldn't coach an NBA team. But, you know, if you love baseball, you pay attention to it, you feel like you could manage it. It's in books. Read Brian Kinney's book. It's great. He brought kind of the direction that Dipoto was going is the additions of Ben Gamel and Dan Vogelbach. Gamel batted .308 with an on-base plus slugging of .785 with 26 doubles and 43 walks in AAA. He's an outfielder. He's known for his speed and his defense, even with the .308 batting average in AAA. Guys like Franklin Gutierrez are probably done being a Mariner. Unless his buddies, Gutierrez buddies, Cano and Felix Hernandez, lobby for him to come back. No more Franklin Gutierrez. It's time for the team to get younger. Dan Vogelbach has a chance to be a superstar as well. Vogelbach batted .293 with an on-base plus slugging of .923. 25 doubles, 23 homers, 97 walks in AAA. He controls the zone, which is what the team wants to do. And he'll be the most interesting player to watch. It'll be the decision process of, do we keep Adam Lind? Do we get rid of Adam Lind? Do we keep Daeho Lee? Do we get rid of Daeho Lee? If they get rid of both of Lind and Daeho Lee, Dan Vogelbach will be your guy at first base next season. So it'll be interesting to see if they pull the trigger on Vogelbach. So
you love this stuff.
Yes. That's so
you want to be a GM. Forget the whole broadcasting thing. Throw the window. You want to be a GM of a major league franchise, don't you?
It'd be tough. So I want to open it back up to you guys.
Okay.
Where do the Mariners need to get better? I mentioned a couple younger players right there, but where can this team get better?
Well, I think the Mariners are really lacking in depth, and I'm going to relate this to basketball because it's what I know best. But if you want to win like the Golden State Warriors win, you have to have a bench like the Golden State Warriors have. And, you know, there's not a guy on that bench that you could put in the floor and it'd put a hole in their offense or defense. You have to take Steph Curry out of the game for an injury or a quick break, and you put their backup point guard in, and he's producing. He's not just in as a role player. He's actually putting numbers on the board. So to bring it back to your question, Christian, to the Mariners, there's little production offensively from the team's catchers and ultimately not much depth in that position. Mike Zunino is batting .207 and Chris Iannetta is batting .210. Just not much of a threat on the plate and kind of puts a hole in the offense, like you said earlier.
It really does. Scott Servais used the term punt the position. They'll take the defense, they'll take the way they call the games, but offensively the Mariners are punting the catching position offensively in the lineup. Drew, what do you think? Where can they get better?
Maybe they just need to leave the state.
Oof.
It seemed to work for the Sonics.
Ooh.
I mean, now the Thunder, who have been a consistent top team in the West since their move. Oh, I'm just kidding. That hurts, Christian. They finally locked down a solid infield, anchored by Cano and Seager, who've had career years. But they struggle with production from the gentleman behind the dish, and injuries to the pitching rotation left them thin there. One major change that has to happen is, I am sorry, Mariners faithful. But it is time to move on from King Felix and trade him.
Ooh.
Why? You can still get the most for him before his decline gets any worse. We dealt with the same thing in San Fran. Timmy won a Cy Young. Short time later, it was time to deal him. There are only a few arms who have more than a three-year period of pure dominance. Move, get some young guys to develop, and some cash to chase a good catcher in free agency. It's time to get rid of the King.
Okay, here's my question with that. Yes, he looks like he's on the downslope of his career. The velocity is down. Everything is down, okay? The walks are up. It's not good. But he will be 30. Felix Hernandez will be 31 years old next season. What could the Mariners get by trading Felix Hernandez? Could they get better from getting rid of Felix Hernandez?
I feel like getting him out of the rotation makes them better.
His ERA was still under 4, but the walks were up.
Do you understand what under 4 means?
You know, it means 3. It means what everyone else throws in the league.
Yeah, but the Mariners need 3-plus runs a game to win. It's been proven this year.
Mm-hmm.
If he can't do more than 3-plus runs,
mm-hmm,
come on now.
Yeah.
You need to hold him under 3.
I don't think they can get better from getting rid of him. I don't think they can gain anything. You're not going to gain a superstar prospect by getting
not
rid of
him. Asking you to gain a superstar prospect. I'm asking you to free up some cash and bring some young guys into the rotation. If you're really going to go the route of make my defense better around my pitchers, just get a bunch of ground ball young guys. You know what I mean? If that's the direction you want to go, do it. Don't hang your hat on Felix striking out 10 a game. There's a changing of the guard in the MLB right now in terms of pitching, and King Felix is no longer the guy. The guy lost last night to San Francisco.
Yeah. Yeah, all right. I don't know. I don't know if that's such a smart move. I don't think they'll do it. I think it makes more sense to trade Taijuan Walker at 24 years old with all the potential in the world. That's a trade worth doing because you could get something out of
that. Yeah, but you have so much money in Felix.
It's too late. No one's. That's exactly the point, too. Teams won't take on his contract. It doesn't make sense.
Cut him.
Cut him. He's going to get his money regardless, so baseball. All right, let's go league-wide. Playoffs are upon us. Saw the Giants win last night. We saw the Blue Jays win a couple nights ago. Who's your pick?
Well, before Drew goes on his... Drew, calm down. Before Drew goes on his rant about the Giants, let me just get my quick 2 cents in. I think the Cubs are going to take it all the way because right now they have the most wins in the league at 103. They're riding this high, and I think they're going to ride it out all the way to the World Series.
That's a good pick. Safe pick.
All right, Drew.
Okay. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Let me read you the things that have happened since the last time the Chicago Cubs have won a World Series.
Oh, here we go. History. History lesson from the history major. That's what he does. Here we go.
Are you ready? Both TV and radio were invented. 14 teams were added to Major League Baseball. Halley's Comet has passed Earth twice. The NBA, NHL, and NFL were formed. And Chicago teams have all won championships in each league. And even the Chicago White Sox. The U.S. has fought in World War I, World War II, the Korean War, Vietnam War, Persian Gulf War, Iraq War, and Afghanistan War. A man has landed on the moon. 16 presidents were elected. 11 amendments were added to the Constitution. The Titanic was built, set sail, sank, and rediscovered 73 years later. Wrigley Field was built and became the oldest ballpark in the National League. Flagpoles were built at Wrigley Field to hold all of the future World Series pennants, but were later removed due to rust damage. A combination of 40 Summer and Winter Olympics have been held. 13 baseball players have won the Triple Crown. 5 states have been added to the United States, and Pluto was discovered. That is the extent of things that have happened since the Chicago Cubs have last won a World Series. Do you know who's won a World Series the last 3 even years? That's right, the Giants. The Giants have won the World Series in 2010, 2012, and 2014. What year is it, Christian Bond?
It's 2016.
It's 2016.
Patterns.
Baseball is a game of patterns. We're believing. The Giants are going to win the World Series. The best pitcher in Major League Baseball, they beat him last night. They beat him. Madison Bumgarner was incredible. Gillespie did his best. Cody Ross, Orange October impersonation. Absolutely fantastic. The Giants weren't going to lose to Noah Syndergaard. They're not going to lose to anybody. Thor has gone back to Ragnarok. Giants will win the World Series.
All right. I feel it. I don't know. We'll see. I'll be very impressed if the Giants win the World Series again. That'll be a little mind-blowing for them to win it every other even year. And then in 2020, we'll be cheering for it because I want to see it every even year in a decade. That'd be crazy.
That'd be absolutely insane.
All right, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to play another game. We're going to play Would You Rather. I'm going to ask a question, and they're going to pick between the two options. This is Mass Radio Sports Talk, presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio.
Hey, everybody. Let's all lean in together.
Show the world you support women at work and at home.
When men lean in, everyone wins.
Help women aim high.
My brother would always pick me above his friends to be on his basketball teams.
It's moments like that that you carry with you forever.
Hi, man. Are you?
Welcome back to Mass Radio Sports Talk, presented by 3.5 Athletes on Loot Air Student Radio. If you want to join in on our game of Would You Rather, call into the studio, dial the number 253-535-7332. Once again, the number is 253-535-7332. All right, everyone knows how to play Would You Rather. I'm going to lay out 2 separate sports scenarios, and Lacey and Drew will pick between which they would rather have and why. A little bit about why they chose that. You guys ready to play?
Yep.
All right.
Let's do it.
Here we go. Start out with a POU-focused question. Would you rather have your own sports team make the NCAA D3 tournament and no other POU team make postseason, or would you have every other POU team make the tournament and your own fails to make the tournament? Which would you rather have, Lacey?
I'm sure those of you who have listened to the show before and know me could probably guess what I'm going to say. I would rather have every other team at PLU go to the tournament before having basketball go alone.
Not true.
Just because how many athletes go to PLU? Close to 400, I'm pretty sure. I would rather have 300 plus athletes have the joy and the experience of going to the tournament rather than having just 14 athletes. So that's mine.
It's very gracious of you. Drew, how do you feel?
Call me selfish, but my team. Basketball hasn't made the tourney in a long time. We were a win away last year, and I will never forget that feeling. We've struggled, and we deserve it. Basketball deserves to make a tournament.
All right, that's fair. Would you rather have the Huskies lose last Friday night and the M's have made the playoffs, or would you keep the weekend's outcome the way they were?
That's easy. Dogs, keep it the way it was. Dogs are on an upswing right now, ranked fifth in the nation. Sure, Mariners had momentum for a while, but like Kellen always says, and how we all always mention, they are like an ex-girlfriend or boyfriend. You just cannot trust them. The Dogs, on the other hand, are like a relationship just starting out. We're kind of in the honeymoon phase, you know? Things are looking really good. But let me just say, guys, all good relationships, the honeymoon phase never goes away.
Ooh.
So I think with the Dogs right
She's
now.
She's speaking from experience.
This is my strong relationship with the Dogs. This honeymoon phase is riding out for a long time.
All right. Drew, how do you feel about that?
I'm simple. I'd rather have the Huskies win than the ex-girlfriend, the Mariners. They would have just ended up breaking our hearts later in the year. Why prolong the agony? Seriously.
Thank you.
Why prolong the inevitable?
All right. All right. I think everyone knows what my answer would have been on that question, but I'm the one asking
questions.
Yeah,
you think.
Would you rather have a healthy Russell Wilson with a Jimmy Graham who is playing hurt, or a Russell Wilson playing hurt with a healthy Jimmy Graham?
Healthy Russell Wilson.
Okay. Yeah.
Russell is more crucial to the offense. He has plenty of other people as options to throw to. Yes, Jimmy Graham's a stud. He's a beast and an athlete, but he can be replaced, and they can find ways to win without him.
The first time I read this question, Christian, I thought it was stupid, and I almost threw my tablet at you because I thought it said, would you rather have Russell Wilson hurt or Jimmy Graham hurt? And I wanted to literally throw out, like, are you dumb?
That's too easy.
Are you dumb?
That's too easy.
So I'd rather have a hobbled, like I said, a hobbled Russell Wilson is better than 55% of quarterbacks in the league. But healthy is a top five. Top five quarterbacks win games. I'd rather take a healthy Russell Wilson every single time over healthy Jimmy Graham.
All right, that's fair. So, yeah, I don't think we need to build on that anymore. Final question for the day. Would you rather have the Huskies win the Rose Bowl or the Seahawks win the NFC?
That is a tough question. But
that's like playing with Lacey's heart.
That is a tough question, but I'm going to have to go with the Seahawks just because pro team, bigger stage, more people are out to watch them, and yeah.
All right. Drew, what do you think?
Neither. Go nope. Niners. Go Niners, go trees.
There's the import.
Let's go neither.
All right.
Hey, we are just about done with Mass Radio Sports Talk presented by 3.5 Athletes. Make sure to listen to Laser all weekend to hear cool shows throughout the weekend. Today has been fun. I am Gerard Asoni.
I am Lacey Nicholson.
I am Christian Bond. Tune into the show next week, Thursday, from 9 to 11 a.m. We're out of here. See you.